ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमसुताय श्रीवरदमूर्तये नमो नमः. ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः. Today is Chaturthi Tithihi. That is why we regularly chant Atharva Sirisha. I didn't want to miss it. So want to chant. Anyway, so in Mundaka Upanishad, we are seeing the first Mundakam, the first book of Mundaka Upanishad, which is our first text, first section. And we saw last class, the Brahma Swarupam, we discussed in verse, the previous mantra. Then here, next mantra, Brahman is presented as the Jagat Karanam. So whenever, wherever Brahman is presented as Jagat Karanam, again I remind you, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, implied by the term Brahman, being presented as the cause of the universe, is always to arrive at the reality. Even though it is a srishti prakriya, it's an analysis of the creation, and the analysis of creation, the Srishti discussed in any Upanishad, is only to help us to arrive at how, what the reality is. How the reality is, what the reality is. So no Upanishad is interested in establishing the creation at all. This I have told you many times. Because why Upanishad is not interested in establishing creation? Because according to Upanishad, there is no creation of anything here. There is neither the cause nor is there effect. Creation always involves cause and effect. Before creation, what is cause? And after creation, what is effect? But here, there's no creation, there's no cause, there's no effect. What is only manifestation of the reality. Why do we use this expression manifestation of the reality? Because there is a time when the universe is not manifest. Universe is not manifest means the universe is not available for experience. And there is a time the universe is available for experience. The universe is not available for experience continuously. There is a time when it is available for experience. And there is a time this universe again becomes unmanifest. Unmanifest means the universe does not disappear, does not go away somewhere. The universe is as it is always, with the forms, names and functions undergoing changes. The forms undergo changes, the names undergo changes, the functions, the purposes they serve undergo changes. But undergoing changes, the universe is always. Always means the universe also has no beginning, universe has no end. Which means universe is not created. There is no creation of the universe. So there is no cause, there is no effect. But there is a time the universe is available for experience, objectification, enjoyment, perception. And there is a time the universe is not available for experience, enjoyment, or perception. Therefore, we say the universe becomes manifest. Universe becomes unmanifest. But the universe is, for the universe to become manifest, to become unmanifest, there must be some substratum. It must exist somewhere. From where it can become manifest, from where it can become unmanifest. And the source of the universe, from where the universe always enjoys existence, is the truth. Therefore, there's no creation at all. So that which is always there, experiencing, knowing the universe being manifest, knowing the universe being unmanifest, and that truth, which lends existence to the universe, by its very sarupam, illumining, knowing the universe. The truth is distinct from the universe, but not distant from the universe. And the universe, known universe, is non-different from the knowing, illumining reality. Because the universe is non-different from the knowing, illumining reality, the universe itself is looked upon as the manifestation of the reality. Because the universe does not have independent existence at all of its own outside of the reality. So this is how reality is arrived at. So this Srishti Prakriya, otherwise called Karanakarya Prakriya, is presented in different Upanishads in different ways. And here also we saw last class how the universe has originated from Brahman. And not only that, so from the standpoint of the universe which becomes manifest, the reality is the material cause of the universe also is Brahma. Intelligent cause of the universe also is Brahma. They're not two different causes existing one without the other. So both the causes are Brahma. And for which a beautiful example of spider was given. We saw that last class. Let us read that mantra, then we'll go ahead.
Yathor nana bhisrjate grinnate cha yatha prithivyamoshadhaya sambhavanti Yatha satav purushat keshalomani tatha aksharat sambhavati ha vishvam yathor nana bhisrjate grinnate cha yatha prithivyamoshadhaya sambhavanti yatha satav purushat keshalomani Tathaksharat sambhavatiha vishvam.
I said three examples are given here. First example is the Urnanabhihi, the spider. How it is shown, for its own web, intelligent cause, the efficient cause is Urna Nabihi. The material cause also is Urna Nabihi. Similarly, for this Jagat, the entire objective universe, there is no cause, there is no intelligent cause and material cause other than Brahma. Even though from the standpoint of Brahma, we cannot say, we do not say that cause of the universe is Brahma. But from the standpoint of the universe, we can say that the intelligent cause is Brahma. The material cause is also Brahma. The universe is as though effect. Brahman is as though cause because the universe doesn't have independent existence outside of the reality. We saw second example. Prithivyam oshadhayaha sambhavanti. From the earth, which is of the nature of inertness, all these plants, the vegetation, which have life, come into existence. Similarly, yatha sataha purushat, prithivyam oshadayaha sambhavanti. Prithivi is earth, and earth is of the nature of inertness. And from this inert earth, the live plants come into existence. Like that example, we should not take it such the example. So the universe has come into existence from Brahma, which means there's no universe. Does what is implied is universe is non-different from Brahma. Universe is inseparable from Brahma reality. Universe has no independent existence of its own without Brahma. That is the important fact repeatedly revealed through these examples. Then, yatha satah purushat keshalomani. Satah purushat keshalomani. I said last class, the keshaha is hair on the head. Loma is bodily hair. And hair is inert, like our nails. But the person from whom this hair grows, the person is alive. Just as this inert, the hair, nails, etc., which are of the nature of inertness, grow from a person who is alive, a living conscious being. Similarly, tatha aksharat iha vishvam sambhavati. From Brahma, this entire universe comes into existence. Tatha aksharat vishvam sambhavati. So what is to be remembered is, reality implied by the term Brahman is distinct from the universe. But the universe is non-different from the reality. You have to remember two sentences. Reality is distinct from the universe, but the universe is non-different from the reality. Therefore, the reality alone is real. So the reality obtaining in the form of consciousness, the pure knowledge alone is satyam. And the universe is mithya. We do not say universe is unreal because it is not non-existent absolutely. It is available for experience and enjoyment. At the same time, universe is also not absolutely real. Why? Because universe is not countable as a parallel reality. Because it does not have independent existence of its own. Therefore, universe is mithya. The mithya universe is nothing but manifestation of satyam, the reality. Therefore, absolutely what is only Brahma. We are cognitively negating the universe, mithya universe, as satyam Brahma. First we say universe is satyam, Brahman is mithya, Brahman is satyam. Now we say the mithya universe, the seemingly real, as though real, apparently real universe is nothing but manifestation of satyam, which means the universe is not countable as a second thing or as a parallel reality. Therefore, the whole universe is manifestation of the reality. Now we can say what is only Brahma. What is Brahma. There's nothing in the universe which is not Brahma. So what is that obtaining as the truth of the individual, obtaining as the knower of the universe also is Brahma. The known universe also is Brahma. From the standpoint of reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, there is no knower, known duality. The knower, known duality doesn't exist outside of reality, but the reality is free from knower, known duality. Therefore, we say it is non-dual reality, which is implied by the term Brahma. So what is only Brahma? This fact will be seen again later on. Let us move on to the next mantra now.
Yatho nana bhisrajate ghinnate cha yatha prithivya moshadhaya sambhavanti yatha satah purushat keshalomani tatha aksharat sambhavati ha vishvam tatha aksharat sambhavati ha vishvam.
We saw this last class. We move on to the next mantra.
Tapasa chiyate brahma. Tapasa chiyate brahma. Tato nama bhijayate. Annat pranaha. Manas satyam. Loka karma sucham rutam. Tapasa chiyate brahma. Tato nama bhijayate. Annat prano manas satyam. Loka karma sucham rutam.
So I reminded you last class, when we read this mantra, we should not take it very seriously and do not think that really Brahman bulges. And don't think that how does Brahman bulge? Brahman bulges, how does he look? Does Brahman also bulge like us? So all these questions and doubts will come. Do not take it seriously. This is only an expression. This mantra is just to say the universe does not have existence outside of Brahman. Means universe is non-different from Brahma. Therefore, universe is not at all countable as something which exists. Universe is nothing but appearance of Brahma. In fact, in the books of wise person, the vision of wise person, there's only Brahma. What is seen as universe is Brahman reality for a wise person. If for an ignorant person, what is his world? For a wise person, what is his Brahma? There's no world for him. There's only Brahman for him. It's exactly like if a wise person sees, wise person with reference to ocean, he can say, what is only water? There's no ocean, he can say. Ignorant person, who is not absolutely totally wrong, he can say what this is only ocean. So what is ocean for an ignorant person is just the water for a wise person. Even though there's reality in ignorant person's view also, but wise person's vision is absolutely right. Similarly, what is only Brahma? There's no Jagat. That vision must be. shifted from the world to Brahma, for which Upanishad is making efforts here. So Upanishad presents, discusses creation.
Tapasa chiyate Brahma.
This also we discussed last class. Chiyate is a verb. Chiyate literally means bulges. Becomes big. So, Brahma chiyate means as though Brahman bulges. As though. Like what? Like any seed before the sprout comes out needs to bulge, only then the sprout comes out. So the seed soaked in water becomes bloated, bulges, then sprout comes out. Similarly, he, the Brahman also, there's a stage when Brahman is as though, Brahman as though bulges. And from that, tataha, from there, annam abhijayate. Annam abhijayate. Annam literally means food. So food comes into existence. It's a literal meaning. Don't take it literally. Just understand now. Annam literally means food. Annam abhijayate. Then annat pranaha. Then from the food, annam, pranaha, manaha, prana comes, then mind comes, originates. Then lokaha, satyam. Then lokaha, worlds. Then actions. Then amrutam. Amrutam literally means nectar, but here it means results. So here, how to understand this? Actually, there is accumulation of punyani and papani. Accumulation of punyani, papani. Karma phalani. And those karma phalani get ready for fructification. That is when the universe becomes manifest. And if universe, the manifestation of universe is based, dependent on or based on the fructification of karma phalani. Fructification of readiness, the karma phalas are ready for fructification. Then only universe becomes manifest. Which means the results of actions have to be exhausted. The punyam has to be exhausted, papam has to be exhausted. And for exhaustion of punya papa, there must be jivas, there must be world, there must be objects of enjoyment, everything must be there. If all the punyams and papams, they have to be exhausted, for which the universe has to become manifest, means there must be a source. There must be a cause. And the cause of, the cause means the one who ordains the results of actions. What is that which is there as the ordainer of results of actions? Who is there as a karma phala data? Here we also understand Ishvara Tattva, the concept of Ishvara. There must be something as the source, as the cause, as the ordainer of, as the very order who ordains the results of actions in keeping with punyam and papa, whether pain or pleasure, suffering, honor or dishonor, for all these desirable, undesirable results to become manifest, for the results to be exhausted, there must be ordainer. And here, that ordainer of the punya pap, this punya papa phalani, the results of actions, is none other than the Lord, Ishwaraha. There's no other cause. Ishwaraha eva karma phaladata. The order of fruits of actions is given the title the Lord. The very order which determines the results of actions is given the title Ishwaraha. So in this mantra, if we take this mantra, Brahma Chiyate, Brahma Chiyate. How does Brahma Chiyate, how does Brahma bulge? Tapasa. So tapasa Chiyate. Tapas, the word tapas here means jnanam, knowledge. Please be careful. The words should not be taken literally. The word tapas actually means jnanam, knowledge. Just as a plant, a seedling, sprout originates from the seed, so also during Mahapralayaha, just as however huge the plant is, the plant doesn't, a plant can become a huge tree, like a banyan tree or a pupal tree, very huge trees with a huge trunks, with so many huge branches, with lots of abundance of leaves, the flowers and fruits, and with adventitious roots also. Such a big tree when you see, and there is a seed. And before this tree, once upon a time, the tree which we experience now outside as a huge tree must have come out of the seed only. In Dakshinamurti Stotram, the very beautifully said, Bijasyantarivankuro, Bijasya antaha ankuraha iva. Bijasya antaha ankuraha iva. Just as the sprout remains unmanifest inside that seed, jagat idam bijasyantarivankuro jagadidam prang nirvikalpam. This entire universe also, if you break the seed, if you open the seed, break open the seed and look for a tree, you cannot see the tree there. You break the seed and see, you cannot find any part of the tree. You cannot see the tree there, or any part of the tree also. But where is it? The tree is very much there. The tree is unmanifest. Tree is not available for experience. Tree available for enjoyment. Tree not available for recognition. But tree is very much there. So, unmanifest. Similarly, during Mahapralayaha, when there is deluge, Mahapralayaha, when the entire universe is unmanifest, the whole cosmos is unmanifest in Brahma. Unmanifest means it is not available for experience, enjoyment, or objectification, or perception, or recognition. The world is. How is the world? Where is the world? It is not outside of Brahma, but it is unmanifest. When? During Mahapralaya Kala. During, there is a time the universe is unmanifest. Mahapralaya Kala means the time when the universe remains unmanifest in Brahma. We called Mahapralaya Kalaha. But here, when we look at Brahman, the reality as cause of the universe, from which the universe comes into manifestation, that is when Brahman is given the title Ishvara, Ishvaraha. So when the universe is unmanifest, everything is unmanifest, which means there is no idea of creation at all. There is no preparation for creation. So we when the universe is unmanifest, we call it Ishwarasya Jagataha Pralaya Avastha. Pralaya Avastha means a state when universe is unmanifest. Maha Pralaya Avastha. That is when the Brahman, who is given the Ishvara title, becomes prepared for creating creation. And preparation for creation, preparedness for creation is said to be visualization of the universe. Visualization of the universe, visualization of the creation is, in fact, preparedness, readiness for creation. So, all the punya papams also become ready for fructification. When the results of actions are ready for fructifications, that readiness on the part of results of actions to be results to be fructified is actually the change happening on the part of Maya. When the change happens on the part of Maya, the change is said to be the change on the part of Maya, not for to become manifest, is said to be the Ishvara becoming bloated, or Brahma Chiyate, Ishvara bulges or bloats, means Maya undergoes a change. Simple. Maya undergoing a change, Maya, but ignorance, the total ignorance, undergoing a change, getting ready to undergo change, is said to be, is looked upon as Ishvara's bulging. Don't think Ishvara bulges. The Chiyate means Maya is, the ignorance undergoes a change. And when does Maya undergo change? When the results of actions are ready for fructification, there's a change happens on the part of Maya. The change on the part of Maya is looked upon as bulging or bloating on the part of Ishvara. See, when we are in deep sleep state, our mind is still. Our mind is undisturbed. when the stillness of mind, there's no disturbance, then there's no creation, there's no dream experience, nothing. But it's disturbed, when our dream is disturbance in the sleep. When our nidra is disturbed, there is creation of dream. Similarly, this disturbance on the part of Maya is creation of this universe. Therefore, the total ignorance, the Maya, is otherwise looked upon as mind of Ishvara. So disturbance in human mind is results in creation of the dream world. Disturbance in Maya is creation of this waking universe. Therefore, it is not really visualization as though Ishvara visualizes. So visualization, Ishvara visualizes means that is sankalpaha on the part of Ishvara. So tapasa chiyate means Ishvara visualizes. That is bulging. So this bulging, bloating, expansion, etc. should not be taken literally. Just how the Maya undergoes a change. Why? When the results are ready for fructification, they change on the part of Maya. Okay. Then from this, in pralaya avastha, then now there is, then when this visualization takes place, there's a karana avastha. Avastha means a causal condition. Then from there, we say, thereafter, tataha, from that, Ishvara, Ishvara with his Maya Shakti undergoing a change. Annam Abhijayate. Annat Pranaha. The word Annam, even though literally it means food, the Karana prapanchaha. Annam here means karana prapanchaha. Karana prapanchaha means the universe which is unmanifest, which is about to become manifest. The unmanifest universe which is about to become manifest is said to be the causal universe, or universe in causal condition is meant by the word annam. Please remember, the annam here should not be taken literally as food. Here it means the universe which is unmanifest, universe which is about to become manifest, is said to be in causal condition, is meant by the word annam. Then, I mean, there's a universe which is about to become manifest, is annam. So where does this universe, which is in causal condition, about to become manifest, where does it exist? Not outside of Ishvara. Therefore we say, tataha annam abhijayate, means even the universe about to become manifest, actually enjoys its existence, originates from Ishvara. Then, annat pranaha. Please remember, the word annam stands for the unmanifest universe which is about to become manifest. The universe in causal condition about to become manifest is meant by the word annam. So what is lesson now? Tataha annam abhijayate means, the even the universe in causal condition which alone is going to become manifest, doesn't exist outside of Brahman Ishvara. Next, Annat Pranaha. So Pranaha means actually the breath. Breath actually is the life, that which lends life. Prana is the life principle which alone lends life. So prana is breath which lends life, the very life principle. The life principle has to evolve from annam. So annam stands for vira, annam stands for Ishvara, Karana Prapancha. Now, Prana stands for Hiranyagarbha. So, originally there is Brahma, from which the power of the creative power Maya is inseparably there. And when that Maya gets ready, Maya undergoing a change, then it gets the causal status. The causal universe and causal condition is there, is Ishvara. And from the annam, prana comes into existence, means prana, the life principle which lends life, actually evolves. And as pranaha is actually Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is what? The entire subtle manifestation. Subtle manifestation in its entirety, in its totality, is meant by the word pranaha. So annam stands for karana prapanchaha. Then pranaha stands for karya prapanchaha. Karya prapanchaha, the subtle manifestation. From unmanifest, first become what becomes manifest. What evolves is subtle manifestation. Subtle manifestation in its entirety is otherwise called Hiranyagarbha, is implied by the term pranaha. So samashti pranaha, samashti manaha, samashti indriyani. So totality of minds, totality of pranas, physiological functions, and totality of sense powers, all of them put together is what? Entire subtle manifestation is meant by the word term pranaha. So subtle universe becomes manifest from the unmanifest universe. Unmanifest universe is nothing but Ishvara, which means where the Maya is has not undergoing a change. So annam tataha annam annat pranaha. So first subtle universe has to become manifest, only then gross universe can become manifest. So tapasa chiyate brahma tataha annam annat pranaha. Then tannat pranaha also is used the term manaha. Annat pranaha, also the word manaha. So what is manaha here? Manaha also, manaha here stands for jnanam, knowledge. All knowledge becomes manifest. All knowledge becomes manifest. all intelligence becomes manifest. So manifestation of knowledge, manifestation of intelligence is evolution. All knowledge evolves, all intelligence evolves. Which means the one word manaha, which stands for knowledge in its entirety, intelligence, its evolution of intelligence, knowledge in its entirety, evolution of intelligence and knowledge in its entirety is implied by the word manaha. When we say there is evolution of intelligence and knowledge in its entirety, what it means is the all the individual minds, all individual minds get multiplied. All individual minds come into existence. Individual minds, individual pranas come into existence. See, there must be one total mind, and from there all individual minds originate. For all the individual minds to originate, for if there has to be multiplication, multiplicity of individual, many, many minds, there must be a source. There's a mind. So manaha stands for evolution of the knowledge and intelligence in its entirety through the multiplicity of individual minds. So now you understand. So from karana prapancha, there comes karya prapancha. The karya prapancha, there again, Hiranyagarbha, which is meant by the word pranaha. And without the prana, life is not possible. Without the Hiranyagarbha, the gross universe cannot come into existence, or gross universe cannot exist independently without the subtle manifestation. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha, meant by the term pranaha, is also known as sutratman, sutratma. Sutratma means the one without whose presence no life is possible. Without whose presence no life is possible. Life, that living, the sentiency, the life is possible, is called sutratma. Who is sutratma here? Hiranyagarbha. Actually, the sutratma is a technical expression for Hiranyagarbha, mentioned in the shastra. Now next, so tataha prana, tataha annam, annat pranaha, then manaha. You understood manaha also now. Even the prana stands for Hiranyagarbha, the word manaha stands for evolution of total intelligence in terms of multiplicity of minds. Now, then satyam, another word used is satyam. We be very careful. In this mantra, all the words are given completely different meaning. So satyam means truth, but here the word satyam means five elements. Please remember, the word satyam here means five elements. So elements stand for gross universe. And how can we take this, take the meaning of the word satyam as elements? And for which Shankara Bhagavatpada explains beautifully, the word satyam has been derived from, the word satyam used in this context is derived from two expressions, sat and tyat. Sat and tyat. T-Y-A-T. Sat and tyat. Sat cha tyat cha satyam. What does it mean? Sat cha tyat cha satyam. You have tried S-A-T sat plus tyat. Tyat means T-Y-A-T, tyat. From sat and tyat, the word satyam has been derived. And this word satyam derived from these two expressions, sat and tyat, stands for elements. So here, the sat in satyam means sat in satyam means the perceptible elements, gross elements. And tyat in satyam means the subtle elements. So gross elements are meant by the sat. And tyat stands for subtle elements. The gross elements are perceptible ones. Subtle elements are imperceptible ones. And what are the elements which are perceptible? What are the elements that are perceptible here? The earth is perceptible. Water is perceptible, jalam, and fire is perceptible. Perceptible, I mean visible. Prithvi can be seen, water can be seen, fire can be seen. So what can be seen through physical eyes are meant by the expression sat. Whereas vayuhu, the air, and space, akashaha. So vayuhu and akashaha, air and space are meant by tyat. Tyat means you cannot see them through physical eyes. It means subtle, two subtle elements, space and air, subtle elements are meant by the word tyat, gross elements are meant by sat. Sat and tyat. So, there are perceptible gross elements are three. Imperceptible subtle elements are two. This is how the word satyam stands for five elements. And this meaning of the word satyam, that five elements being the meaning of the word satyam, is actually given in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. The other expression is Murtam Amurtam, though which have forms and formless. The elements which have forms, which can be seen, or Murta Bhutani. Elements which cannot be seen, which do not have given form, Amurta Bhutani. If we are totally, we have, anyway, the word Satya means five elements. So five elements stand for gross universe. And these five elements also, originally they are subtle elements. And the, now we studying Tattva Bodha, we all remember very well. Originally there are subtle elements. What is subtle element? Air by itself, air as an air is subtle element. Space as space is subtle element. Fire as fire is subtle element. Water as water is subtle element. Earth as earth is subtle element. But when the grossification takes place, when the tamasic aspect of the elements get divided into four and they mix with other elements, panchikaranam. I don't want to explain panchikaranam here. You all must be remembering panchikaranam. When panchikaranam takes place, the grossification takes place, then there are stula elements. The stula bhutani actually become formed from the sukshma bhutani, subtle elements. Therefore, originally there is a creation of subtle elements. Then there is creation of gross elements after grossification. That is why it's better we have thorough understanding of Tattva Bodha. Now you understand why I requested you all to study on Sunday. Read Tattva Bodha book again with Rahaniji. Please remember this. Now from these elements, so remember exactly now, remember the mantra again. From these elements, Lokaha, all the worlds come into existence. The lokas, all the worlds originate. How many worlds are there? Don't worry about all those things. All, whatever is here, whatever loka is here, loka means that which is experienced is loka. So whatever is experienced in any number of realms, all those experienceable worlds. So lokaha means all the worlds. So our shastram discusses there are chaturdasha bhuvanani. Chaturdasha bhuvanani. Chaturdasha lokaha. Means there are 14 worlds. Means there are different realms of experience. And those different realms of experience are counted as different 14 worlds. So bhulokaha, bhurlokaha, suvarlokaha, maharlokaha, tapolokaha. Like that, we have 7 above, 7 below. There are totally 17 worlds. 14 worlds are nothing but 14 realms of experience. And Bhulokaha is the place which is in between, which is the 7th. There is 6 above and 7 below. Bhulokaha is the world where the varieties of innumerable countless living beings are living. And of all the living beings which are living in the Bhulokaha, human being is the most sophisticated creature. Most sophisticated being is a human being. Therefore, a human being, all the living beings, all the non-living things, and elements of the elementals, all of them are meant by one expression, lokaha, lokaha. Now, what is clear now? So first, there's a universe which is about to become manifest, which is called a causal condition of the universe, which is karana prapanchaha, which is antaryamishwaraha. And from there, then subtle universe becomes manifest. It's a manifestation of entire subtle universe, which is meant by the term expression pranaha. Then there again, manaha stands for the total evolution of the intelligence and knowledge. That's how many minds also become manifest. Thereafterwards, then all the satyam. Satyam means origination of elements, five elements. Subtle and gross in the sense, the perceptible and imperceptible elements. Then afterwards, the elements again, then gross elements come into existence after grossification. Then from there, all the living beings, the bhulokaha. The bhuloka means especially of the 14 worlds. The bhuloka is the world where all living beings are here. Living beings are living. And there, human being is the most sophisticated among all those living beings. So all of them have come into existence. This is how Mundaka Upanishad presents creation. Should we take it seriously or not? No. We need not take it seriously at all. It's a way the Upanishad presents. What it wants to say is, elements and the elementals, subtle and gross, nothing exists outside of Brahma. And here, we have to think now of all the 14 Chaturdasha Bhuvanani, the 14 worlds, which are nothing but 14 realms of experience. There again we say this Bhuloka is the one where living beings are there. And even of all living beings, human being is the most sophisticated being. Why? Because only human being has the knowledge of self-existence. The self-conscious being. No other living being is a self-conscious being. There's no other being has knowledge of self-existence. And second thing, human being alone, therefore human being alone is capable of discovering the self because of self-consciousness. And a human being alone has got faculty of choice, free will. No other, all the animals, all the living beings are programmed to live their lives. Human being alone is blessed with the free will. And not only that, human being alone is blessed with the special organ that he alone can communicate. He alone can speak. No other living being in the world is capable of speaking. It has its own way of communicating, but human being alone is capable of expressing, talking. Therefore, he is blessed with a unique organ of speech to convey his ideas, to express his thoughts, to impart, even to share his wisdom. That's why even this self-knowledge, Upanishadic teaching, also is meant only for a human being. Because human being alone has this self-consciousness, human being alone has got this free will, human being alone has got this knowledge of right and wrong, human being alone has got this capacity to speak, and a human being alone has got the punya papa. Human being alone has got this punya papa phalam, because he alone has, because of his knowledge of right and wrong, he can accumulate punyam, punya karma phalam, or papa karma phalam. His actions can be, actions can contribute for construction. His actions can contribute for destruction also. Therefore, here we see all these satyam lokaha karma sucha amritam. Karma sucha amritam. So from there, I'm taking to the next thing, amrit, karma sucha amritam. Karma also comes now. The word karma, I'm explaining, I'm not talking about the karma. So karma stands for then punyam and papam. Where is punyam? Where is papam? Of both. Ishvara is the cause. Punyam doesn't exist outside of Ishvara. Papam doesn't exist outside of Ishvara. Now you can understand punya papa phalam. The experience of punyam and experience of the papa phalam, the result of wrong action, the experience of result of right action, also doesn't exist outside of Ishvara. They all have come into existence from Ishvara. Who is Ishvara? The one who is endowed with the creative power called Maya. Who is that endowed with? What is it which is endowed with the power? It is Brahma. So absolute reality implied with the term Brahma, which is endowed with this creative power called Maya. Therefore, is given the title Ishvara, and from the Ishvara is the Jagat Karanam, the cause of the universe, intelligent cause and material cause of the universe. And from that Ishvara, everything has originated, which means the gross universe is non-separate from Brahma, Ishvara. The subtle universe is non-separate from Ishvara. The unmanifest Karana Prapanchaha is also non-separate from Ishvara, which means the causal universe is Ishvara, the gross universe is Ishvara, subtle universe also is Ishvara. Subtle universe also is Ishvara. Therefore, here I have to stop and give you the names. Ishvara, when you look at the whole gross universe as Ishvara, we give a different name, Virad Ishvaraha. Look at the subtle universe as Ishvara, Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. When look at this Karana Prapancha as Ishvara, the causal universe as Ishvara, we give the name Antaryamishwaraha. So Antaryamishwaraha is nothing but the name given to only Ishvara in causal condition, the universe in causal condition. The same Ishvara has given a different name as Hiranyagarbha, because the universe, the subtle manifestation is Ishvara. In universe, the subtle universe and Bhagavan are not different. Universe is not different from Ishvara. Subtle universe is Ishvara. So we say Hiranyagarbheshwara. The gross universe also is Ishvara. When we give the different name, Virad Ishvara. So Virad Ishvara, Hiranyagarbheshwara, Antaryamishvara, all are three different functional names of only Ishvara, who is another than Brahma, absolute reality. Now it must be clear to some extent. No. Okay. So here is that word expression now. Let me go back to the mantra again for you to become very clear. Tapasa chiyate brahma. Repeat it so many times just to make it very clear. Tapasa chiyate brahma. I'll repeat again next class. I'll make it clear.
Tapasa chiyate brahma tato annam abhijayate tataha annam abhijayate annat prano manas satyam annat prano manas satyam lokah karma suchamritam.
So all karmasu stands for punya papam. Then cha amritam. One more word I have to explain. The word amritam. What does the word amritam stand for? Amritam literally means nectar. But here the word amritam stands for results of actions. Karma, the punyam and papam. But amritam stands for the result of punya papam. Results of actions. The result of punyam, the punyam, when the punyam is gets translated, punyam gets translated into the experience of pleasure. Papam gets translated into the experience of pain. So pleasure and pain are nothing but the pleasure and pain, the experience of pleasure and pain is nothing but translations of punya papa karmas. So the experience also, the pleasure is also Ishvara. Pain is also Ishvara. Punya karma is Ishvara. Papa karma is Ishvara. The law which determines the punya papa karma is also Ishvara. All worlds are Ishvara. All beings are Ishvara. Among the beings, the human beings are Ishvara. The will is Ishvara. Actions are Ishvara. Results of actions are Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. That is what is actually meant by this expression. So amritam, it means nothing is outside of Ishvara. So amritam means result of action. Result of action means experience of paths of opposites. The word amritam stands for karma phalani. Karma phalani means results of actions. Results of actions implies experience of paths of opposites. Therefore, amritam stands for experience of paths of opposites, which are translations of punya papa, result of actions. Okay. With this, the mantra is over. Now I have covered all the words now. Is it clear? We will again, the mantra looks very small, but so much is presented there. Let me put again, let make it very clear for you. Tapasa chiyate brahma. What is, I said, absolute reality endowed with the creative power called Maya is said to be Ishvara. And when the karma phala, results of actions are ready for fructification, then this Maya undergoes a change. The Maya undergoing a change is looked upon as Brahman Bulging. It's called Brahma Chiyate. And from there, Annam Abhijayate. Annam Abhijayate means Annam stands for Antaryamishwaraha, Karana Prapanchaha. Antaryamishwaraha means the universe in causal condition is called, meant by the word Annam. So Annam stands for Antaryamishwaraha. Antaryami means causal, unmanifest universe. It means unmanifest universe also doesn't exist outside of Brahma. Reality. The universe is unmanifest also. Where does the universe remain unmanifest? Not outside of Brahma. Annam stands for unmanifest universe. Unmanifest universe looked upon as Ishvara is called Antaryam Ishvaraha. Then from this unmanifest alone, unmanifest universe alone becomes manifest. The first subtle universe becomes manifest. So annat pranaha. There onwards, thereafter, the prana becomes manifest. Prana evolves. Unmanifest causal condition of the universe. Prana evolves means prana stands for samashti pranaha hiranyagarbha. Then not only samashti prana hiranyagarbha, so here even the mind, the word manaha stands for evolution of the intelligence in its entirety, because of which multiplicity of minds is possible. Therefore, the word pranaha and manaha's two words stand for, from the unmanifest universe, first evolves the subtle manifestation. The subtle manifestation's entirety is meant by these two words, prana and manaha, which is otherwise said to be Hiranyagarbheshwara. Thereafter evolved the gross universe. And the gross universe involves what now is meant by the word Satyam. Satyam stands for all five elements. Sat stands for perceptible elements. Tyat stands for imperceptible elements, which means invisible elements. Though Sat and Tyat stand for gross and subtle elements. Before grossification, the origination of subtle elements. Then after grossification, the gross elements. So Satyam stands for origination of subtle and gross elements. Then afterwards, all the 14 worlds, Chaturdasha Bhavanani, the 14 realms of experience evolve. And in all these worlds, there is a Bhulokaha. One of the 14 worlds is Bhuloka. In that Bhuloka, all the living beings come into existence from the elements. Elementals originate. And in that, this elemental world, among those elementals, living beings are there. Among the living beings, the most sophisticated human beings also come into existence. The word Lokaha stands for all the beings and human beings. And the human beings alone have the self-consciousness, then they alone have free will, they alone have knowledge of right and wrong, therefore they alone have punya papam, they alone have karma, therefore they alone accumulate punya papams, karmani. Therefore the karmani also originate. And once the punya papams are earned as a result of actions, those translations of punya papams are in the form of experience of pairs of opposites, which are meant by the expression amritam. So what does it mean here? All these words, all our experiences, what the pairs of experience we go through in our day-to-day life are Ishvara. The actions are Ishvara. There is the law which determines the results of actions also is Ishvara. Then the entire gross world is Ishvara. Subtle manifestation is Ishvara. The unmanifest universe also is Ishvara, which means there's a thing which is not Ishvara here. Who is Ishvara then? Everything. But three different names are given. What? Virad Ishvaraha, Hiranyagarbheshwaraha, Antaryamishwaraha. In Puranas, we get three names as Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Shivaha, Antaryamishwaraha is Shivaha. Hiranyagarbheshwara is Brahma and Virat is Vishnu. Three different names are attributed to only Ishvara. Three different functional names. And here, and all of them, all Ishvara is, the Ishvara who enjoys three different functional names is none other than Brahma, which is reality endowed with creative power called Maya. So what is the final lesson now? What have you understood? We don't need to worry too much about the mantra and the meanings. The lesson to be understood is, all the worlds are Ishvara. Ishvara is Brahma. Therefore, worlds are Brahma. Is it clear? All the worlds are Ishvara. Ishvara is Brahma. Therefore, worlds are Brahma. A is equal to B, B is equal to C, A is equal to C. Therefore, what is only Brahma. Where is the world? Where is Ishvara? Where is Jiva? There's nothing. Jiva's status is mithya. Ishvara's status is mithya. The world is mithya. Experiences are mithya. What is Satyam? Only Satyam is Brahma. Is it clear? I've just given you, explain the word meanings of the mantra. I will again next week, I'll show you how to understand this mantra. How should I understand? What am I expected to understand from this mantra? Again, I'll talk to you the same mantra next class. Know why? I don't want to have any vague. I don't want it to be vague at all. I want you to have thorough, clear knowledge. Today you heard so many words from me, but next week I'll explain to you what we are supposed to understand through this mantra. Is it clear? See, we don't get any, we cannot find anything. Just one word is given. We have to, there is so much for each and every word. Three words are used in the mantra just to say the gross universe, subtle universe, all of them evolved from Brahma. Which means the universe is always there. No universe is created. There's always already universe in causal condition, which is Ishvara. The subtle universe and the gross universe are nothing but manifestations, karya prapancha. And the karana prapancha, causal universe is antaryamishvara. Karya prapancha, subtle universe is hiranyagarbha. Gross universe is virat. Is it clear? Any doubts? Any questions?
Can okay. I ask one question, Swamiji?
Yeah.
I think last class you said tapasa chiyate Brahma. We should take Brahma as Ishvara. Is that right?
Yeah. Whenever, I'll tell you, whenever the topic of creation comes, we shift the expression from Brahma to Ishvara or Sagunam Brahma. There's no Ishvara separately other than Brahma here. Ishvara is a qualification attributed to the very reality. We look at the reality as something that is endowed with the power of becoming manifest. Is it clear? So I want you to be thorough here. Okay? That's why initially I took some time. So we'll continue. I'll stop now. We'll continue soon. Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.